Cleansing wave. It's so important to us that we have. All right, if you take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. The Gospel of John in chapter 6 is where we're going to be looking this morning. I told you that this is a very important message for all of us as we strive together for the faith of the gospel. Very important that we learn this concept and then that we not only will discover it, but then we will obey it. Obey it as the Lord would prompt us to, individually and corporately. And so, not that any other week I would give you permission not to really pay attention. I'm just kind of trying to put my two cents in and say, of all weeks, pay attention, because I want you to think through this, and maybe in the coming days we'll see how you can then apply it in your own life. John chapter 6, this story that is given to us is in several of the other Gospels. In fact, I think all of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And of all of them, this is the one that I chose, John, because of a small detail that is listed here in the Gospel of John. John chapter 6, and we're going to be looking at the first 13 verses. And so you follow with me. I'd like to read the story. You'll identify it right away, what story we're talking about. And then I would like to give you a few principles that we get out of it and then make some applications to us here at Faith Bible Church. So John chapter 6, starting in verse 1, again, reading all the way through verse 13. And after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many? Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, and in number, about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered themselves together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Father, would you please bless as I share your truth to these people this morning. God, I pray that you would help me to give exactly what you want me to give, that I would withhold what you don't want. Lord, I pray that it would be very real, that people would see the truth, that people would see the application to our church and to themselves. God, I pray that you would use us just like you did this little boy. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, this is an amazing story. 5,000 men fed with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Isn't that amazing? You think about that and what that lunch would do. And yet 5,000, and yet you probably know, because I've preached on this passage, you've heard other people preach on this, my guess that there was more than 5,000 individuals there at this meeting place. In fact, probably men with their families and other people that were just there. Who knows how big this group could have been? The scriptures don't say it, so I'm not going to give you a number of what it was. I don't know, but at least there were 5,000 people there that were attending. Let's just say that it was just 5,000. The numbers are astronomical, and the miracle is astronomical. Again, only if there were 5,000. We know that number, so we can work with 5,000. Yet Jesus used a little boy to meet this need. I want you to see, first of all, the great need. Take note of the different points that are made. Number one, the great need. And indeed, it was a great need. You know, Jesus had this humanly impossible situation all under control, yet he wanted to prove himself to Philip and the other disciples that he was God. And we see that in verse 6. He said, "And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do." Jesus knew what he was going to do with those, with this group of people. You know, you look back and they had been at the Sea of Galilee, and he had been healing people, because that's what the people were all about. They were at rage with Jesus. They wanted, I don't know necessarily to worship him as God, but they certainly wanted to be cleaned up. They wanted to be healed up of all their infirmities. And so they wanted to come to Jesus. By the way, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Jesus says to come to him. And so these people were doing just that. They were coming to him, and he was healing them. And we see here that he goes to a retreat, and it appears that the people follow. And so the people come, and Jesus, you know, they're asking this question, what are we going to do? How are we going to feed these people? And so Philip asked the question, and you know, Jesus wasn't tempting Philip. I don't think that he was saying, you know, how are we going to do this to see? But I think he was doing something, and it was to stretch his faith. I think Jesus was teaching this disciple, Philip, but all the rest of the disciples, I want you to watch me. I want you to know who I am and what I can do. Did you hear that, folks? Honestly, the words that I say, I believe that these are from God. Please listen. God wants these disciples to know who he is and what he can do. I want to tell you, we serve a big God. We serve a mighty God that has a big plan. He's got a big will. He's got a big purpose in life. Yet he's looking for us to have faith and trust him to do what is humanly impossible. And he wants to use Faith Bible Church to do it, and he wants to use you to do it as well. First, we see the great need. You know, Philip's response was that this was an impossible thing. Notice what he says. Philip answered in verse 7, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them. 200 denarii is the number that Philip said. And by the way, this was about enough. One of these penny, if we could call it that, one of these was about a day's wage. And some have done the calculations that for this group, that would have been about eight months' wages for a person. 8 months' wages, and again, one a day of work. Can you imagine? Now, that's saying, that's a lot. That's a lot of needs just to get this amount. And Philip said that wouldn't even be enough for even a little bit to get. You know, if we wanted to take 8 months' wages and put them and go out and buy bread, which, by the way, you know, the time frame was even also a factor. Well, I'll get to the time factor in just a moment, but let me finish this money thing. You know what? To go out and spend the 200 penny worth and to buy it, Philip's point was is that we won't have enough even then. You know what? If we divide all of that up, they'll probably get a very small morsel of food to eat. Jesus, this isn't going to work. Let's look at that time factor. Let's go to Mark. I just want you to see what Mark, his perspective, and what his is recorded there. Go to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, and we're going to just look at verses 35 and 36. And I want you to see something that's listed here that is important for us as well. Why this was such a big deal, okay? You get 5,000 men with probably a group of other people that are with them. And they have nothing, you know, to feed them. How are we going to do this? Even if they were wealthy enough, even if the disciples could get together and come up with all of this money, I mean, 8 months worth of wages, and go out and buy all of this food, it wouldn't even be enough. Yet, at the same time, there was even another thing working against them. Mark chapter 6, verses 35 and 36. And when the day was now, when? It was far spent. What does that mean about the day? Are we talking about the morning? Are we talking about at noontime? We're probably not even talking about the afternoon. The day was spent, far spent. We're probably talking about late in the day. Late in the day, evening time, maybe. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place. And now the time is far past." This response is, "Send them away that they may go into the country round about, into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." Honestly, they were away from the city. They were out in the desert, and it was at the end of the day. You know, to say, "All right, we're going to take a supper break. Let's go, and I'm going to send everybody out to his home village. You go out, eat your lunch, and come back for the last session tonight." That wasn't very practical, and it wouldn't have happened. They were too far. They were in the desert. It was at the end of the day. On top of that, they don't have enough money to do it all. So we see here, even from Mark, that indeed the need was very great. Would you agree with me that the need was great here in John chapter 6? Was it a great need? Oh, it was a great need. It almost seemed very impossible. So the great need. Now, before we move on, I'm not going to tell you any great needs necessarily that Faith Bible Church has, but folks, the need is great. Honestly, Jesus Christ has placed us here in Mount Joy, Pennsylvania, to put us here to be a shining light in a dark and dreary world. He's placed us here in Elizabethtown and Mount Joy and in between some of these cities, and not far away from us, there's some other smaller places where some of you come from, and yet there's a great need in this place. And yet Jesus not only put us here, but he gave us a commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He told us to go and make disciples. He told us to go out and to bring them in and to see them saved and disciple them so that they can go out and do other things. That was Jesus' commission to these people. And he's actually going to verbalize this a little bit later in John. He says, "You go out and you bring them in so that they can go out." And what he was going to give us and what he did give us in the Great Commission is he gave us a task that humanly seems impossible. It seems impossible for this group of 75 or 80 people to go out and to see Mount Joy and Elizabethtown saved. It seems impossible. And you could break that down into some smaller things. It seems impossible for us to afford the maintenance of this building. It seems impossible to have the leadership that we have here in our church. It seems impossible to do it all. And we look and say, how would God do it? Indeed, the need is great. But I want you to see the second thing, though. In verse 9, we see the little lad. The first point, the great need. But I want you to see the little lad. In verse 8, we see one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him. So Andrew sees this young person. He said, "There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes." Notice Andrew's response after that. Why did Andrew bring up this? I don't understand it. You know what? Philip says what? 200 pennyworth. Won't quite do it. Andrew goes and he sees a boy with a lunch. Did nobody have a lunch that day? Nobody? Out of 5,000 people? And yet Andrew comes back and he brings him to Jesus and here's a lad that has a lunch box. It's almost like, here it is. I don't know why he brought it. I'm guessing that the Lord beckoned him to do it. I don't know. I don't know if the Lord told him to do it, but I think that he must have been led of the Lord. But here Andrew brings this boy with his lunch. And what does he have inside? He's got 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And right away you're thinking, boy, these must have been some massive loaves. He must have been packing his loaves on his shoulder. He must have had all of his neighborhood buddies helping him carry, because to feed 5,000 plus people, those loaves would have had to have been monstrous. And the fish, a fish like we've never seen before, made Jonah's whale look smaller, or big fish look small, right? But to feed this many people, was kind of an incredible thing. Why did he get the little lad? We have a small, insignificant boy with five loaves of bread and two small fish. I want to tell you that five loaves was really a drop in the bucket for this size group. All right, now keep your finger here. I want to take you to another passage which will give you a little insight. I want you to go to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 4. I want everybody to see this. Go to 2 Kings. Totally different situation. And the point is not to get into this context. I just want you to see a loaf of bread used in a context and a kind of even a miracle situation that was happening here. You're in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 42 to 44. I just want to read these three verses. And there came... Well, let me wait till you're there. I still hear some pages. 2 Kings 4, 42, 43, and 44. And there came a man from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits. Now notice what he brought. Again, doesn't matter who or when or what right now. I just want you to see this. There came a man from this place and brought the man of God he brought bread of the first fruits. And notice, 20 loaves of barley and full ears of corn in the husk thereof. And he said, give unto the people that they may eat. And his servitor said, what shall I set this before? How many? 100 men. How many loaves? 20. 20 barley loaves in front of 100 men. Okay, you can do the math there. Give unto the people that they may eat. Okay, so he gives this. He said again, give the people that they may eat, for thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof. So he set it before them, and they did eat and left thereof. Doesn't it sound like this story? It sounds very similar. He said, bring them. By the way, this was a miracle situation. 20 barley loaves for 100 men. It was a miracle. And he says, and there was going to be left over of it. Let's do this. Let's see the miracle. Verse 44, so he set it before them, and they did eat and left thereof according to the word of the Lord. 20 barley loaves for 100 men. This means one loaf would feed 5 guys. So the boy's lunch was good for how many men? Well, it was good for 5,000. According to this, what? 25 guys. Right? 5 loaves would feed 25 guys. And that would be a miracle. I'd like to see 5 loaves in front of some of you guys. You know what? It'd be a miracle, okay? A miracle! God fed a couple of you guys. I know what kind of guys we have in this room. You like to eat a lot of food. You just come to men's prayer breakfast and watch what happens. 5 loaves for 25 guys. Be a miracle that it happened. But we're talking about 5 loaves, 2 fish for 5,000 plus. 1,000 loaves at the very least would be needed for the 2 Kings miracle. Follow? 1,000 loaves at very least, that's without the women, that's without the children, would be needed for a 2 Kings miracle. I love what one man said. Man's inability sets the stage for a manifestation of Jesus' compassion and power. Can I tell you what this man is saying? God glories in impossible situations. You see, when men can do it, when there's enough people to do it, when there's a number of volunteers, when man is able to do it, then God is not needed. Now, we know that that's not all true because man can't do it and God is needed. But in men's eyes, when men can do it, God's not needed. We don't need Him. God loves when men cannot do it. Men can't do it, and God can step right in. You know, this boy really didn't. You know, this boy has been looked upon as kind of like the hero. The little boy with his lunch shows up to feed 5,000 people. Hero? Not really. There's no way. There's no way for this one lad to show up and open up his lunchbox and feed all these people. What were these loaves and two fish? What are they among so many? Who is Faith Bible Church in Mount Joy and Elizabethtown? Honestly, how could we ever do it? How could we ever get out and spread the gospel? How could we be able to take care of the needs of this building and the things that we need at this church? How can we do it? But I'll tell you that God was using it to do some great things. God was using it to do some great things. And He would. One little lunch for a lad, from a lad. You know, it's amazing that Andrew called this lad. You know, you would have thought that he would have found the shady maple of Galilee. Get on the phone. We have got a group of people. We need that big long line of food. We've got to do this. You would have thought that they would have found the rich businessman of Galilee. We need you. We need all the money that you've got. Jesus of Galilee, He's got a great group of people. We need to feed 5,000 plus individuals. And yet He used an individual in His everyday possession to meet the great need. Did you catch that? He used an everyday need, an individual, not the businessman and not the shady maple. And honestly, we look at our church and we say, how can we really, Pastor, make a difference in our world? To me, it seems impossible that Jesus' commission could be fulfilled. Doesn't it to you? It does to me. I don't see how a small church like this can reach even these little two communities. I certainly don't see how we're going to reach the world. Jesus brings up a possible situation. He knows what He's going to do, and yet, here's a little boy. A little boy and his lunch. And God chose to use this little boy's lunch to feed 5,000 plus individuals. Let me ask you a question. What do you have? What do you have to offer to this church? Say, Pastor, I really, you know what? I don't think that I could ever teach a Sunday school class. I don't think that I can preach. I don't think that I know enough to be the head of the maintenance, and I don't know enough background, and I've never like cleaned a place before on a normal basis for a job. You know, I've never done this, and I've never done that. And you know what, Pastor, I just don't know that I could really be used in this place. I want to tell you something. It was foolish for Andrew to bring this little lad and his five loaves and two fish, but God used the little boy's lunch. You say, Pastor, what do I have? This, my activity in this church wouldn't do anything. For me to show up to that service wouldn't do it. I'll tell you, that thinking is rather futile. Can you imagine if no one did it? What if everyone else thought like you? But I want you to see, thirdly, the powerful Lord. We have the great need and we have the little lad. You see, the answer, honestly, was not in the little lad. I'm not preaching about the little lad so much this morning. I'm preaching about the powerful Lord. And Jesus said, make them sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, verse 10. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. And the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments and remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered unto them and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. As I said before, honestly, it wasn't the boys' lunch, it was Jesus. It was Jesus' power to do anything. In fact, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, Jesus made the earth out of nothing. See, Jesus can use nothing to make everything. Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were created or made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Could Jesus do it? Could He win the world to Himself? Could Jesus pay for everything that we need at this church? He could do miracles. He could do it. You see, He can do it. And He understands the great need and He knows what He's going to do. And yet, we can't skip over that middle part. He chooses to use little lads. Little insignificant everyday abilities and possessions that he has blessed us with for His glory. And I wonder what your little gifts or your little abilities, your little talents that God has given to you, that you would be able to contribute and that you would be able to do to see great needs satisfied. Great needs, impossible needs. What could God use you to do or help with? My family is very familiar with the story of George Mueller, and maybe some of you are. George was a rebel. George was a thief. George was a rotten kid. God chose to save him, and He saved him, and He brought him out of this, and he ministered in some different ways in his early years, and God used him tremendously in several years, and he watched God do some miracles. Well, at one point in his life when he was still relatively very young, George and another young man were co-pastoring a church, and they were pastoring that church, and they were working together. And God put a burden on George's heart to start an orphanage. And you know, I remember the situation that George, he went to his congregation. I don't know if he was nervous, I don't know if he was scared, but it was going to be something new, and he got there. And he got in front of his congregation, and he told the people what he thought and felt that God wanted him to do. And as it was written there in the book, as we read that, as we see, you know, George gets up there and he tells the people, I believe that God wants me to start an orphanage. And people in the crowd gasp, what? What? He went on to say, I think that we ought to, and he started spelling out this, I want to do this, and I want to give them a place. This is not just a day place. This is for them to live, and I'd like to start with this, I'd like to do this. And as he unfolded the plan, more and more people in the room thought, what is he talking about? And he called for the people. He said, listen, if God is for this, then he will do it. Was there a great need with George Mueller and this orphanage? Absolutely. And to tell you the truth, humanly speaking, I probably would have agreed with the people sitting out there that were shaking their heads saying, no way. We can't do this. And you know what? There were people that as they went out that day after that message or challenge that George gave to those people, there were people that day that went out that as they went by, they shook their heads and they say, no way. It will never happen. But it didn't shake his faith. But you know what? Along with the majority of those people that went out shaking their heads, there were a group of people that went out and said, you know, George, if God is for this, then so am I. And George, I can't do this. Or Pastor, I can't do very much, but I have a little bit of this. And another person had a little bit of that. You know, the story of George Mueller in those days, by the way, the orphanage started. And it's amazing. You read the story. It's amazing. On the days before the day that they wanted it to start, all those things came in. I mean, you know what? One day they're sitting there and a knock came at the door. And there's a lady that says, you know what? I'm retired and I would be willing to give myself as a maid. I'll come in and I'll do all the laundry for these kids. You look at that situation and say, a laundry maid? That's not going to make an orphanage. But you know what? George had a laundry maid. And another day came by and somebody said I was cleaning out my silverware drawer. And you know what? Here's four forks. And you look and you shake your head and say, four forks will not feed a group of young people in an orphanage. And another person comes by and says, listen, I don't have much, but I'm willing to do this and to do that. And you know, as I read the story of George Mueller, there are very few times in all of the history of George Mueller, very few times when a lot of money and big, big donations came in. Most of it was little, tiny, insignificant things that you would look at and say, that's not going to do it. Four forks won't do it. A laundry maid won't do it. Somebody that's just going to help sew their clothes isn't going to do it. But I'll tell you what, one by one by one by one, they showed up at the door. And they all gave something insignificant. And that day arrived, and George was able to start that orphanage. But folks, it didn't end. Because God was in it. And because God was in it, they saw it happen. And day by day, little insignificant widows' mites came in. God treasures mites, pennies, loaves, and fish. In fact, I believe God is looking for the little lad. Not the big, rich businessman that's going to come in and fund everything. Not the shady maple that's going to show up and feed everyone. No, he's looking for individuals that come and say, Pastor, I don't have much. But I'd be willing of my own time to do this. Pastor, I can't stand up and necessarily teach a lesson, but you know what? I could do that. I can't fund the HVA system. I can't do that, but you know what? I could put $5 in. And the push isn't for money, what I'm saying. The push is for this, is for us to sit up and realize that God's not looking for those big things. God's looking for little things. You see, God glories when his people show up with their little lunch that honestly is impossible to do it. Yet lunch by lunch, talent by talent, gift by gift, God's crowd comes together. They get behind his plan and say, you know what? This would be good. This is what's needed. This is what God wants to do. You know what? And before long, that church was behind George Mueller. They saw God work and they were behind what he did. And they helped him erect that place and do what needs to be done. And I'll tell you what, if you know the story of George Mueller, amazing, 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 inhuman, unreal things happened. I'll tell you what, George Mueller, of all people, knew that each one was not insignificant because he took the time to write each one down. There was a spoon from this lady. There was a fork from that man. There was a loaf of bread from that guy. There was this from him. And honestly, everybody pitched in where God had blessed them. The lady that had the four forks didn't make loaves of bread, but she gave her four forks. And the man that didn't have the forks but could make the bread made the bread. And when everybody pitched in, the work on the operation and the plant happened. It worked. It worked out. And it didn't just work out. There were 12 baskets left over. My friends, I want to tell you something. God is not looking for, you know, we could pray and pray and pray for something to hit Mount Joy in Elizabethtown and thousands of people get saved. And we would love it. We could pray for a wealthy businessman to show up to our church and donate a bunch of money so that we could do every project that we wanted. You know what? And if God chose to do it, then it would be great. But I'll tell you what, there would be a temptation to look at that one blast of revival, or there would be that great temptation to look at that one man and put the credit right there. You know what? God loves it when we look at when he could look at the situation and say, that could only happen because of a good and powerful God using individual little lads. My question to you this morning as we close is, what do you have that you could do to help the cause of Christ in this church? Does our church have needs? God has blessed us so much. Some of you might be thinking, I know where Pastor's going with this. We have a huge heating and air conditioning system that needs to be replaced. It's going to cost a lot of money. He's really trying to get us to pay for that. Can I tell you something? This has zero to do with that heating and air conditioning system. Zero. It has everything with the ministry that's going on here. Seeing God do amazing things with this ministry so that we can do more for him. So that we can see him reach the community. My question is, what do you have to offer? George gave his plea and the people came forward. I'm not necessarily giving you my plea this morning and waiting for you at the end of the service to come forward and say, hey, I'll do this. But you know what? If God puts it on your heart to do something, it'd be a blessing. What would God have you do? What would God have you do? Remember from Sunday school that it has nothing to do with doing it for men or so that people can recognize. It has everything to do it for the Lord. Let me ask you a question. How much was God willing to give us? You see, he gave everything. Jesus gave us everything. What would you be willing to do? Honestly, God's not asking you to give your life in death. But God would love to use that ability that you have. Who knows what you can do? You say, Pastor, you know what? I can pull weeds. Pastor, I can do this. I can do that. I can clean. I can do that. And again, I'm not making things up. I am making things up. There's all kinds of stuff that can be done. It just amazes me how God used this little boy's lunch, and yet it wasn't really the boy or his lunch. It was a mighty God that used an individual that had something available. I trust that you would make yourself available for the cause of Christ. Father, thank you. Thank you for these wonderful stories. Truly a wonderful story. God, would you help us? God, would you help us? Would you meet needs, Lord? Would you use little individuals to step up to the plate and do things? We would see, we would come up, we would discover what you have for our church and the visions and the goals and the desires that you've given to us and what we need to see accomplished. And although we could look at our own selves and say, well, my little loaf isn't going to do anything for that cause, it has nothing to do with it. Oh Lord, we've learned this morning that it has everything to do with it when it's given in your might and your strength. Lord, would you take the 75 or 80 or whatever it is this morning, would you take the little loaves and the little fish that are out here this morning, and would you feed miracles of people in the coming days? Lord, we can only do it through faith. Lord, would you help us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.